Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This fall, we will be exploring a variety of biblical texts on the work of the Holy Spirit. We will be looking together at how the Holy Spirit is at work in us as individuals, as well as among us as a congregation, as the body of Christ. And as our mission statement proclaims, here's a church, we seek to know Christ, to become like Christ, to share Christ. And indeed, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to connect us with Christ and to continue our life in Christ. The Holy Spirit directly connects us to who Christ is, to what He was doing when He was here on earth as the man Jesus, and what He desires to continue to do today in our lives and in our congregation as a whole. So the text we're going to look at together today features Jesus and His disciples. They are together in an upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. This is the night before Jesus will be crucified. He has gathered His disciples together. They have had a meal, and He's now talking with them about what is about to happen, about His death and His subsequent resurrection. But the thing that He's just been immediately talking about before the text we'll read this morning together is that He, Jesus, is about to go away. He is going to leave them because He is returning to the Father. It was the Father who sent Him, the Son, into the world, but now it's time for Jesus to return. Now that creates a whole lot of anxiety among the disciples. They have been with Him for 3 years, and He has been their teacher. He has been their guide. He has been the one to tell them about their Heavenly Father, and He has been sharing the good news of the gospel with them and through them to the people there in Palestine. And for them, this is very disturbing news. What do you mean you're leaving? What's going to happen to us? What are we supposed to do? Why have we been spending this time together learning from You and watching You and trying to be the kind of people You want us to be when You're going to leave us? What about us? What will happen to us if you're going back to God the Father? And this is when Jesus says, well, the Father has a plan for you. You will not be forgotten, neither by My Father nor by Me. I am going to ask the Father, Jesus says, and He will send you someone. He will send you another person. A person to continue what I have been doing personally with you. And Jesus says, that person that the Father will send is the Holy Spirit. On chapter 14, verses 16 through 18 is our text this morning. You find it printed in your bulletin if you want to read along with me. And this is what Jesus says. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John contain amazing teaching about the Holy Spirit. But even just in these three verses that we have read, there are already several remarkable truths about the Holy Spirit that help us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and the purpose for which the Holy Spirit is in our lives. As Jesus says to his disciples, he will be in you. So, as Scripture later declares, he is in every person who by faith has accepted Jesus Christ. So what is the Holy Spirit there to do? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Jesus uses a very important word here in the text, the word another. I am going away, but God the Father who sent me will send you another. Now there are two words in Greek that we translate into the English word another. One Greek word means another of a different kind. If Jesus had used that word, that particular Greek word about the Holy Spirit, he would have been teaching his disciples that God is going to send you another. He is going to send you, if you will, someone in place of me, but he's going to be different from me. He will operate differently than I did. He will be doing different things than I did. He will be another of a different kind. But that is not the Greek word that is used here. Jesus says he, the Father, will send another of the same kind. And this is very important. Jesus wants his disciples to understand that the one who is coming, called the Holy Spirit, is the same kind as Jesus. Meaning that what he does will be in continuity with what Jesus has been doing. What the Spirit is doing is of the same kind as Jesus. Speaking the love of God, teaching the truth of God, helping us to live as we should live. The word that is translated here, advocate, which is the Greek word paraclete, Jesus says that he will send you another advocate, that is an advocate who is similar to the way in which I have been your advocate. That word paraclete can be interpreted in different ways depending on the context. Paraclete in Greek literally means the one who comes alongside. And then you ask, well, what does he come alongside to do? Well, he can come alongside to advocate, but he can also come alongside to teach or to help or to comfort, to counsel. There are all these various things that Jesus has been doing with the disciples as he has come alongside them. He has been their paraclete, if you will. He came down from heaven to be alongside of us, a fellow human being, to help us to understand as one like us what it means to be a human being living in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And what he is saying to his disciples is the Father is going to send you another one like me, and he will continue to do with you the things that I've been doing. He will, yes, he will advocate for you, but he will also comfort you, and he will help you, and he will guide you, and he will teach you, and he will counsel you, and other things, again, as we will learn as we move through this series together. The work of the Holy Spirit is to continue the work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has not come in order to do something different from Jesus, to do something in addition to Jesus. In order to say to Christians, okay, Christians, you have Jesus, but if you really want, you know, a spiritual high, then get in touch with the Holy Spirit. If you really want some new amazing things, the Holy Spirit can make that available to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes Jesus Christ real to each one of us. He is another of the same kind. The Father sent me into the world, said Jesus, and I had a certain work to do. I had a certain task to fulfill. There are things that the Father wanted me to show you and teach you and to live so that you can see what it means to live as a person connected with a Heavenly Father. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's just going to keep doing right the very same thing that I have been doing with you. That's why Jesus says in the verses that we just read, you see, I'm not abandoning you. I'm not leaving you behind. Yes, I am leaving, but I'm not leaving you behind. I'm not leaving you to figure out now how to live this life on your own. I'm not leaving you to try to do these things in your own power. I'm not leaving you to say, well, what are we supposed to do now? Who's going to guide us? Who's going to help us? Who's going to empower us? Because Jesus is leaving. He says, I'm not abandoning you. And he uses the word orphans, like an orphan. I'm not, if you will, like a parent who somehow, for some reason, has left the child and the child is now on their own. And a child is unable to live a human life as a child. They need someone to care for them. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I know we've had 3 great years together, but you're not ready to do this on your own. Indeed, you will never be ready to do this on your own. I will not leave you as orphans to try to figure all this stuff out yourself. To just take some of the things I have said and done and go, oh, now it's up to us. No, the Holy Spirit will be another advocate of the same kind. You will not be abandoned. You will not be orphans. And so it is the Holy Spirit comes biblically for these disciples. He comes on the day of Pentecost, approximately 50 days after what we just have read here. Jesus, after this, will be crucified. He will be raised from the dead on the third day. For about 40 days, he will be engaged with his disciples. And then he will ascend into heaven, as we read about in the first chapter of Acts. And about 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes as tongues of fire and settles on the disciples as they're gathered together in prayer. And the work of the Holy Spirit, which has been with you and around you, Jesus says, is now in you. In fact, he says to his disciples immediately before he actually leaves, before he ascends into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, don't do anything in ministry. Don't start what I have asked you to do. Go and be my witnesses, he says, in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. But don't do that until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't do that yet. What are we supposed to do? Well, let's have a prayer meeting. And it turned into a 10-day prayer meeting, but that's not a bad thing. Because they're doing what they're told. They're waiting. Why? Jesus says, you're not going to be able to do this yourself. You can't do what I've asked you to do. You can't live my kind of life without the Holy Spirit. And I don't even want you to try. So just hang tight. The Father and I and the Spirit, we have this all figured out. Spend some days together, enjoy each other, spend time in prayer. And when the time is right, the Holy Spirit will come. And he came. And beginning in Acts chapter 2, the disciples took off. And they continued the ministry of Jesus because the Holy Spirit was in them. He was the advocate. He was the guide. He was the teacher. He was the bringer of all truth. All God's truth comes to us today through the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus later in John chapter 16, like I said, continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit, calls the Spirit of truth. So what are a few of the things we can talk about this morning that the Spirit does? And again, we will just simply continue for the next 4 months. Each Sunday, we will look at different aspects of the work of the Spirit, always connecting them with the work and ministry of Jesus. Never lose sight of that fact. The Holy Spirit is not doing something new apart from what Jesus did, but is working in continuity with what Jesus did. And indeed, Jesus said, what work am I doing? He says, I'm doing the work of my Father. So the idea is the Father has sent me to do work, and now I'm leaving. But the Father will send the Spirit to continue the same work. It's the work of the Father all along. It's not that Jesus does his thing and then the Spirit does his thing and the Father is off who knows where doing his thing. They're all doing the same thing. Another, he's not going to come in human form. He will look different. Things will not be exactly the same as they were with Jesus, clearly. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are two separate persons, but it's another one of the same kind. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he continues the ministry of Jesus. For example, Jesus says, this is the very end of, for example, of Matthew 28. He says, he's speaking to his disciples, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then what does he do? He leaves after he says that. That doesn't make any sense. How can you be with us and leave us? Well, see, the Holy Spirit is the answer to that question. So it is the Holy Spirit living within us that facilitates the promise of Jesus that he is with us always. Jesus is not just with us as an idea. He's not just with us as, someone who lived 2,000 years ago and whose teachings I've learned, and I kind of like that, and intellectually I have a connection with him. No, it is not an intellectual connection. It is a relationship. And it is enabled by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. Indeed, what does Jesus say must happen in order to have a relationship with the Father through a relationship with the Son? You must be born again of the Spirit. John chapter 3. You must be born again of the Spirit. Not just you must know what I am and what I have done and what I've taught and kind of nod and intellectually say, I believe this guy lived 2,000 years ago and did all those things. No, you need to be born again, and it has to be the Holy Spirit living within you. Because this is about a relationship with me, says Jesus. And you cannot have that relationship with me if I'm not there with you. If he were here with us today, guess who'd be preaching? Guess who you'd be able to have a relationship with as the disciples did 2,000 years ago? It's not that you would need the Holy Spirit, but you would be able to be engaged with Jesus directly. Well, see, Jesus says, I want you 2,000 years later, I want you in the year 2021, sitting in the sanctuary at Congregational Presbyterian Church in Lewiston, Idaho, or watching on the internet, wherever you may be, I want to be in relationship with you, and the only way that can happen is if something of me is in you. And that is going to be the Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is given to every person who by faith trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit enters into our lives, and in Jesus' words, we are born again. We are given a new kind of spiritual life. And will the Spirit then come and go? No, he will never leave you or forsake you, and therefore, I will never leave you or forsake you. How is Jesus in me, active in me, and how am I able to relate to him since he's not here? The Holy Spirit. Are you beginning to hear why the Holy Spirit is more than just a Christian addendum? Why the Holy Spirit is more than just for those advanced people who've kind of gone beyond Bible study and prayer and going to church and they're into Holy Spirit stuff because it's kind of, the next thing. Or perhaps for many of us, we felt the Holy Spirit is about kind of mystery things and weird things and the church down the street that's the Holy Spirit church of whatever, and I'm not sure what they're up to and I'm not sure I want to know. That's not the Holy Spirit that Jesus says we need. Oh, the Holy Spirit is doing great things in that church, I'm sure. But he's not reserved for them. He is necessary for all of us. And so we are going to explore together the work that he does and how he does it and how we can engage in that work. So just one of the many things the Spirit does is He is in us, and therefore Jesus is in us. I will never leave you or forsake you. I mentioned that He's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never do anything or say anything or be part of any kind of spiritual activity that is not consistent with what Jesus did and what Jesus said and what Jesus taught. There are those who say today that the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. He is doing something beyond Scripture. He's doing something beyond the Spirit, what Jesus did. That is not the witness of Scripture. That is not the truth that the Holy Spirit brings. The Holy Spirit is not another of a different kind to bring a different kind of a truth, a new kind of a truth, a different kind of interpretation, a new kind of revelation. That is not the Holy Spirit of Scripture. That is the invention of human beings who are seeking language in order to justify their ungodly and unbiblical teaching. The Holy Spirit always works in continuity with Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of truth. And the primary way in which He has brought us the truth of God is through the Word of God. The Word of God gives witness that this Bible, this Scripture, this text has come to us through human beings who wrote it down. These are all human beings who wrote the various books that make up our Bible, but they were inspired. They were led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in their lives, and He guided them in terms of what to write so that what is written is the truth of God. Jesus came and said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Well, Jesus, you lived 2,000 years ago. How do I get way and truth and life today in my life, in my church? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who continues to be here showing us the way to God through Jesus, continuing to reveal the truth of God that Jesus proclaimed, and He did, and He said very clearly, all of Scripture points to me. It's not just that there are four books, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are about Jesus, and everything else is about other stuff. Jesus Himself says, it's all about me. And either He was an incredible egotist, or He was speaking truth. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life to take this Word as we read it, as we study it, as we meditate on it, as we pray over it. The Holy Spirit living within us seeks to reveal and to help us to understand the truth of what we have in here. Because it is the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world that the world, including you and me, may be saved through Him. The Holy Spirit reveals truth through this Word that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, guided, led by the Holy Spirit. So it is God's truth, not falsified by human opinion, but rather in a miraculous way, in a godly way, directed by the Holy Spirit. And we can place our confidence in it. But the Holy Spirit's way of revealing truth and helping us to understand the truth of God, as Jesus spoke of us to continue the ministry of Jesus, is not just through the Word, but also through Jesus Christ living within us. Now, while the Word is something exterior to us, the Bible is outside of me, I can hold it in my hand, there is part of the Spirit that is also within me. The Spirit is here, but the Spirit is also here. Now, reading a book and trying to understand the words and figuring out the grammar and all those kinds of things is something outside me. But reading what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of me is often harder for most of us. It takes a different kind of an engagement with the Spirit, and again, one that I hope that we can explore more in these next several months together. But let me just give you an example, maybe one that you can already tie into. How is the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Inside, revealing truth within you, corroborated by Scripture, helped by Scripture, but you feel it deep inside, not just because of something you read or something that somebody told you, but something that's deep inside you. I want you to think back in your life to the first time that you truly felt within yourself that you were loved by God, that in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, your sin has truly been forgiven, and that you have been given eternal life. When did that become a reality for you within? Not just something that you heard at church or in Sunday school or from a parent. Not just something that came to you from some source, even Scripture itself, and something you looked at kind of with your mind and with your intellect, and well, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with this Jesus guy, and I'm okay with the stories in the Bible, and yeah, I think that's probably true in an intellectual way. I mean, kind of like, you know, in school I learned about Abraham Lincoln. Okay, I believe he's real. I believe he did and said the things that the history teacher says he did and said. I believe in the book, the history book that someone wrote. I don't think they're telling me lies. I believe in Abraham Lincoln, but I don't have a relationship with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is not my Lord and Savior. How did Jesus become your Lord and Savior? Because you read about Him in a book? Because a teacher of some kind told you about Him? Or because there is something within you that attests, that agrees that this is true? If there's a time in your life that you can look at and say, yes, and maybe some of us can even remember the first time we kind of realized that that is real, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit revealing a truth to you internally that cannot be revealed in any other way. You must be born again of the Spirit. And the Spirit will reveal that, and He will confirm that within you. I remember the first time that this happened to me, at least in my memory. I was 10 years old. I was at a Christian summer camp, and the teacher was talking about, well, Jesus, what else do you talk about at a Christian summer camp? Now, I had grown up in the church. I had gone to Sunday school virtually since my second day of life. I think I was 3 or 4 days old when my mom took me to church the first time. I had heard about Jesus hundreds of times. I knew a lot of the stories in the Bible, especially the fun ones, the good ones, the, you know, the gory Old Testament ones. I'd heard all this stuff before. He wasn't saying anything new. But somehow, as I was sitting there in that room, something happened inside. Something within me, all of a sudden, like a light bulb going off, as we sometimes say, something said, Steve, this is for you. I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand it. I don't know that I could explain it today, some 50 years later. There's a lot about this intellectually that I don't understand, but I know within myself what is true, what is real for me. And I know that it is more than just what I've been told about this book or read about it myself or had other people tell me over the years. It's more than just kind of doing what my parents wanted me to do and be a good kid and mom and dad believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus too. No, this was something for me. This was something that is true of me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is a work that we need to increasingly become aware of and get in touch with, because it is one of the primary ways in which He continues the work of Jesus in our life. How is Jesus teaching me today? Not just here, but here. How is Jesus comforting me today? Not just here, but here. Guiding me, helping me, strengthening me. The Holy Spirit. And if I, as a Christian, am not in touch with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit leaves. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit gets disgusted and says, "Ah, that's Steve Wilbraham. He doesn't know very much about me. He's not, doesn't really pay attention to me. I'm taking off." No. Jesus says He'll never leave you, which is a good thing, because you get to heaven. There's really only one question. This really isn't the Bible, but it's my version of what the biblical, what the question, it's going to be one question for you to get in, so to speak, through the pearly gates. Do you have the Holy Spirit, Steve? And if I can answer that yes, I'm in. That's it. No Bible quiz, no attendance sheet on church, no tallying up how much money I gave to the poor. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, do you? See, that's the question. It's not just about, let's learn something more about another doctrine or Christianity that we call the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit is about eternity. And I want each one of us, if we don't already have that assurance within us, that as we study and read and think and pray together about the Holy Spirit, that nothing becomes more real for us in the next 4 months than, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. And perhaps Pastor McLean and Pastor Skeev can teach me some more things about Him, and I can think more about Him, and I can learn how to be more like He wants me to be, in continuity with who Jesus wants me to be, in continuity with who the Father wants me to be. But most importantly, I have the Holy Spirit. He's real to me. And because He's real to me, Jesus is becoming increasingly real to me. That's what the Spirit is all about. Not just as Christians that we think about some guy who lived 2,000 years ago and said things that are in here along with all the other things that are in here, but that He's real to us today. He's at work in us and in our church and in the world today. That when He says, love your neighbor as yourself, we don't just sit around and go, let me figure out how to do that. But He's with us and He's teaching us. And He says, see her over there? You need to love her, and this is how you need to do it. That's what Jesus wants to do. That's what He did with the disciples. He said, see this lady? Let's go have a conversation with her. We're going to talk to her about living water. See that little man up there in the sycamore tree? Let's go have dinner with him. We're going to share with him about the love of God. See that poor beggar over there? Let's go have a conversation. And guess what? I'm going to heal him of his lameness. Watch this. See, that's Jesus with His disciples, and we all say, oh, I wish I lived 2,000 years ago. It'd be so great to be a part of that and to see all that and live all of that. And the Holy Spirit is inside. Hey, hello. That's why I'm here. The Holy Spirit is here to make Jesus as real to you and me as He was to the disciples who were with Him each and every day. Now, I have to confess, He's not that real to me yet, but I'm working on it. I don't know whether He'll ever be as real to me today as a physical human relationship I have with all of you, for example. A relationship where we can talk and we can engage and we can see each other and hear each other. That's what we're used to. It takes work. It takes an awareness of something new and something different to be engaged with the Holy Spirit in this way. But He's there and He's ready and He's willing and He is able to make Jesus real to us. So that living the Christian life is not just trying to follow a bunch of rules and to be a nice person, like Jesus said, be nice to the nice, so you're nice. No, it's about being a real follower of Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us to make Jesus real to us. And the more real the Spirit is, and the more real the Son is, so the more real the Father is to each one of us. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for this opportunity to spend time together thinking about and talking about and reading in Your word about the Holy Spirit. We recognize, Lord, that the Holy Spirit for many of us is someone, if we even think of Him as a person. For many of us, He's more like something, kind of like a Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of a thing that we're not really sure about, that we have been comfortable maybe not thinking much about or feeling even as important. According to Scripture, he's critical. According to Scripture, we can't have a relationship with you without him. That's your word. That's not a preacher's word. That's not a theologian's logical conclusion. That is the truth as spoken by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, Heavenly Father, each one of us, I pray, might become aware of this truth, of this reality. And Lord, that we may live that reality, that we may live that truth and seek a relational connection with the Holy Spirit that grows and can become as strong and as real as any relationship we have with any other person. It's not easy, Father. It's not what we're used to. And it may even for some feel a little strange, but it's what you have given us. It is a great gift, and it's to our detriment when we don't take advantage of it and live according to it. Father, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.